I'm giving a sermon today that I've never heard given, and there's not been much education on it, so if I mess up, it's my fault. But if you listen, I think you'll all find something that will help you serve better and help us have more fellowship, more love, more care for one another. And just maybe take something home that you can use the rest of your life. My daughter and I was talking some time back about a problem she was having. And she made a statement that sometimes a person just needed to talk to someone. Someone that would just listen. Maybe not looking for advice or a solution to a problem, but just to get it out. Maybe having dealt with a problem for so long and wrestled with it so long that they just needed to get it out in the open. Just someone to listen. Someone that you can talk to and that you know what you say won't go any further. This was sort of a private problem she was having, but someone that you can talk to and give advice only if you ask for it. Someone that might hug you, pat you on the shoulder and just say, it'll be okay. Because we were talking over the phone, so I couldn't do that. But whatever the situation might call for, one minister said one time he was talking to a lady that had lost her husband and he was trying to think of something to say to comfort her, and the only thing that would come to mind was, it's going to be okay. Later, the lady saw him again and she told him that was just what she needed to hear. Simply that it was going to be okay. If someone has a complaint or a problem, we need to encourage them to talk about it. Not just really fuss at them, but just let them know you got a dry shoulder. A lot of times, this is all someone needs, is to get it out. A lot of times, listening is an art or a skill. And that's the title of this sermon, is The Art of Listening. We need to learn the art or the skill of listening. Listening is a skill that has to be learned. It is an activity of the mind and not of the ear. You got to use your ear to take it in, but it's an activity of the mind. I know that sounds like a contradiction, but the mind, if the mind is not actively involved, it would be hearing, but not listening. The most prevalent mistake that people make about listening is to regard it as passively receiving, rather than actively participating. And I want to repeat that and try to catch this. The most prevalent mistake that people make about listening is to regard it as passively receiving rather than actively participating. I've noticed a lot of people, when someone's talking to them, that they will be doing other things and act like they could care less about what the person said. Some people are more skilled at listening than others, but we can all improve our skills of listening. So that these skills can become habitual, and that And that is what we're trying for. We have to break bad habits. Well, this is one that we have to develop. It's a good habit. It needs to become a very part of us so that art of listening is automatic. A lot of people are thinking more about what they're going to say when you're finished and not what the speaker is saying. Lack of listening in marriage has caused a lot of problems. When someone is talking, we should be listening intently to what they're saying. When you come right down to it, it's actually bad manners or even rude not to listen when someone's talking. To turn your back, to interrupt, just not pay attention. Of course, if it's really important, you can say, "Excuse me for a minute longer or longer until I finish whatever you're doing, then we can talk." I know my father set a real good example. It didn't matter what he was doing. If someone came up to talk to him, he would stop, light him a cigarette. I don't say that part's all right, but that's what he would do. He'd stop and stand and listen to them for a while. I got a picture in my mind one time that I like to think about. There's about four or five of us went home after church with this lady for lunch and just to visit. We're all sitting in her living room talking after lunch, and it was just about as near a perfect conversation as I've ever seen. One person would speak, then the next, and so on. I got a picture in my mind of having a ball. One person would get the ball, hold it a little bit, pass it on to the next person while he or she talked, and pass it on to the next person in perfect order, no interrupting, no cutting in, just lively conversation. Of course, very few conversations are perfect, so we need to be patient with everyone. And after all, we are here to get together and enjoy fellowship and just being together. But we can also practice listening at these gatherings. Some marriage counselors will have one person say something and have the other person repeat it, to see if he or she is listening. And I don't know the rate of success of this, but I would think it would be pretty high. It might be helpful if a couple is having trouble would ask themselves, "Am I listening enough?" And it has to be focused on I. One thing I've learned over the years is you can't change the other person. We can only change ourselves. So we have to focus on ourselves to see how we're listening. Maybe if I focus on me and change my example, this may cause my spouse to follow suit, because I'm just using me as a for example. I don't have a spouse. We need to pay attention to how we interrupt others if we do. We need not to worry about what we're going to say when someone is talking. There's a good chance that they will not say what we think they will. So our answer might be wrong, and we might not have heard everything they said. Just listen. It's not going to take any hide off to wait a minute to speak. I'm sorry that I'm so slow, but my eyes are misting it. I have to search for my words. But the owner always finds them. Parents need to listen to their children. I learned when my children were very young that we can learn from our parents, from our children. Yeah, our parents too. Children have been a source of amazement to me. I guess since I was 4th and 10 and had brothers and sisters under me, I always noticed their cute actions and sayings. I remember a lot of them too. I learned things from my children because children see things as they are. Their mind is not cluttered up with a lot of stuff like older people's are. I like to hear stories about children's accomplishments. One story I heard one time was a bus full of Cub Scouts that got hung in a tunnel, hit the top of the tunnel. And they got hung, and then people gathered around, a couple of state troopers trying to figure out how to get it out. One scout told a trooper he knew how to get it out. Well, the trooper listened to him. He asked him, said, "How would you do it?" He said, "Let some air out of the tires and back it out." Very simple. The grown people, the smart people, didn't see this. Their mind was on bigger solutions. You know, wreckers and dynamite and stuff like that. It was simple to this Cub Scout. He was close enough to the ground that he could see the solution to it. Another story I heard, and this affected me two ways, was a construction company was putting a 8 or 10,000 gallon tank in a hole, and they just about had it in there, and the hook slipped and let the tank fall, and it fell on the bracket that it was hooked to, and they couldn't get to it to rehook it. So they were They were trying to figure out how to reattach the cable, and a 10-year-old boy told the superintendent he would tell him how to turn it for $10. And of course, the superintendent, he thought he was gonna get a laugh out of it. He said, "Okay, I'll give you $10 if you tell me how to get it rehooked." He just couldn't perceive that a 10-year-old boy could solve a problem that grown men couldn't. The boy, I'll get in a minute. The boy said, "Call the fire department." And over there's a fire hydrant. Flood the hole. You can float the tank then wherever you want it. Hook it back up, turn it over, whatever you want. And I think it's a state trooper. Another person told me this one, but I think it's a state trooper that he said, "That worked." So the boy asked the superintendent for his $10. Then the superintendent said, "I'm not going to give you $10 for that." And the state trooper heard him and told him, "You promised him $10, and you will give it to him." I've heard several stories like that. Children are sharp. They got a good mind. It's not cluttered up like us. We need to guard our minds against too much TV and computer. It's good to learn computer, but have them get outside a lot and in the sun and exercise. Children sitting in front of TV for hours become passive. They listen less and less. The attention span of a child, this was a survey done by teachers many years ago, and maybe worse than this now. A child watches a lot of TV, is about, his attention span is about 5 to 7 minutes. Because this is about the average time between commercials. The TV does their thinking for them, so they lose the skill of listening, and they don't learn a lot of the things that they should. Parents need to spend time with their children, telling them interesting stories. My mother would read a good story and tell it to all of us. We'd gather around and listen to it. We loved it. I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again, maybe a few times, but I thank God that we didn't have a TV when I was growing up. My parents were good storytellers, and we loved it. Most of their stories taught something, but at the time, we just heard the story. But there have been times after I've got grown that a story would come back to me when I get into a certain situation, and it would help me out of it. Children love to hear their parents' stories. But more important, it helps them to learn to listen. Parents need to listen carefully to what their children are saying. It may not be interesting, but it may not be interesting to you, but it is to them. Know what they ask you, so you don't give them permission to go out and kill a cat or play in the traffic, something like that. If we listen to our children on little things, they will bring the big things to us later on. My daughter run a daycare center. She had two buildings that she had bought, and I had to remodel one of them, bring it up to city code. And she wanted me to come in and read to the children. And I guess because I read to them, she liked it, and she wanted me to read to these kids too, but I never did get a chance to, never did get the time. And I wish many times that I had. That would have been good for them and good for me both. The listener's mind must reach out to the speaker to catch what's on his or her mind. If we use our ears only to take in words, but to not use our minds to penetrate through them to the mind that delivers them, we do not perform the activity that is essential for listening. The result is a failure of communication and a total loss, a waste of time. There are four ways of communicating: through words, reading and writing is two, talking and listening is four. Listening is rarely well performed. Listening is demonstrated as less skillful. Why is this? Instruction in writing was taught in school. Some attention was given to reading and speaking, although much less than writing. Almost no attention was paid to the skill of listening. Most people don't even know that it takes skill to listen. Some people think that listening includes no more than keeping quiet while the other person talks. One corporation has spent a lot of time and money developing classes for their employees on listening. These courses are made available to all their employees. In their view, the deficiencies in listening and failures to communicate that come from such deficiencies are a major source of wasted time, beneficial operation, miscarried plans, and frustrated decisions in every phase of the business which a company is engaged in. Other than a few courses or books on listening, it is rarely taught anywhere. The listener allows themselves to be distracted by all sorts of things, paying attention to the speaker's mannerisms instead of what they say, pretending to pay attention while their mind wanders, among other things. So how can we use this information? On a personal level, we need to learn to listen to others. Intelligent listeners are in such demand and are so rare that people will pay for the privilege of being listened to and talking. St. Petersburg, Florida, there's a lady that makes a good living listening while others talk about their problems. In Little Rock, Arkansas, a business known as Southern Listening Bureau advertised itself as such. We offer well-trained and experienced listeners who will hear you as long as you want to talk and without interruptions for a nominal fee. As our listeners talk, as our listeners listen, their faces betray interest, pity, fellow feelings, and understanding. Where called for, they exhibit hate, hope, despair, sorrow, and joy. Lawyers, politicians, club leaders, and performers can try their speeches on us. You can talk freely about your business or domestic problems without fear of any confidence being betrayed. And I want to focus on that line a minute. It says, without fear of your confidence being betrayed. We all, at times, need someone to talk to who will listen. If you're married, most of you can talk to your spouse, or should be able to. But single people sometimes just don't have anyone to talk to. Listen and not betray your confidence. What if I tell something to a trusted friend, and that friend has a trusted friend, and that friend has a trusted friend, and so on. After the third or fourth time, it becomes common gossip. We used to play a game in school. I don't know what it was called. It could have been called gossip. I don't know. But there were about five or six rows of seats in this classroom, and the person sitting in the front left row would write something and give it to the teacher and then whisper it to the person behind them. And it went up and down until they got to the last one, and this person would tell what she had heard or he had heard, and it was nothing like what the first one had wrote on the paper and gave to the teacher. And that's how gossip works. Especially when the first person is not listening. If I tell you something, confiding in you, it may mean a lot to me, but you may say, oh, that's nothing, tell someone else, and that person tells someone else. It may seem little to you, but it may seem big or even embarrassing. I've had people tell me things, if I told somebody else, it would embarrass them to death. Maybe even embarrassing to the person that told it, but they needed to talk. They needed someone to listen. We need to be confidential listeners. Let the other person say what they need to say and not interrupt. And respect the person's privacy. Turn to Proverbs 17, verse 9. Proverbs 17, verse 9 says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." I sold water conditioners in Florida for a while, in Florida in 1982. I had a 45-minute presentation that I gave, and I would ask the people at the beginning of the presentation to hold the questions till I was finished, and then I'd answer any of the questions. And mostly the questions were answered during the presentations, and if I'd had a lot of interruptions, it would have been a lot longer. So if you want someone to hurry up and finish, don't interrupt. Turn to Proverbs 18, verse 13. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it is a folly and a shame to him." When we're listening to someone, we need to avoid finishing their sentences for them. We don't know what they're going to say. Be patient and let them finish. It's very frustrating to try to talk and someone keeps trying to second guess you. Sometimes we run into someone who gets on our nerves when they talk, or someone who don't seem very wise or well-educated, or just tries to tell his version of something, we still need to listen. Maybe we can help them to talk better or have a better understanding of whatever the situation might be. Obviously, we don't want to listen to someone who is trying to convince us of something wrong. But we should not sneer or put them down or talk behind their back. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. "For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Verse 27, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." And verse 28, "And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the weak things which are not, to bring to nothing things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." So we should never look at people like they're uneducated or dumb or down and out or what, because this is what God's called, and I was sitting one morning and had my cup of coffee and thinking about these scriptures, and I thought, foolish and wise, and I thought, what does it mean by base? And I was sitting looking at the bottom of the door, and the house I live in don't have any base or baseboard in it. And I said, that's it. My mind wasn't quite in gear then, just having my first cup of coffee, but I thought I was just sort of drifting through these verses, and I was looking at the bottom of the door. But God has called a bunch of weak, foolish, and base or low-down people, if you want to put it like that. There are people that will avoid people that don't look just right or don't suit them. We should never do that. Weak, base, foolish. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures that says, except so-and-so yonder, and they don't look too smart. We should walk up to these people and introduce ourselves, maybe ask a question to get them started talking. Maybe ask a leading question once in a while to keep them going and listen to them. Lean towards them. Let your eyes say, I love to hear you talk. Let them know you want to hear what they say. If they're a slow talker, be patient. Let them find a word or words that they want. Never look bored or impatient. Smile when it's called for. Show concern in your eyes and manner when it's called for. Be an active listener. You may not say 10 words during this conversation, but he or she will tell everyone what a wonderful listener you are. You are such a good conversationalist. God called the weak, base, and the foolish. And I didn't see any exceptions to weak, base, or foolish. So I think that he meant all of us. But he didn't expect us to stay that way. We should work to become more like God and allow him to build his righteous character in us. It's the responsibility of the older members to help and encourage the younger and new members. Also, the newcomers may not know the art of listening. Maybe we can help them by carefully listening to them, set a good example. They can learn by example. We need to be a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes people just need to talk. We need to listen. Turn to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 says, Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with what? With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. It's hard to comfort others if we don't learn how to listen. If we learn to listen, we will be able to comfort and encourage others now and also in the world tomorrow. We can practice on each other now. Some people will make some smart aleck remark when somebody's tried to talk to you about something that's on their mind. Something like, don't be a crybaby, or something else equally foolish. We need to learn to cry with a person who is hurting, not only be a shoulder to cry on, but cry with them. People in the world tomorrow will have been through a worse time than anything in history. In the second resurrection, they will have been tortured, has spent a life of abuse or cruel slavery, or died in all kinds of ways. They're going to take a lot of listening to. Their last thought may probably be the first thought when they wake up. And they're going to have to be calmed down and listened to. And a lot of it may sound like foolishness when they first start talking. But we have to listen and know how to comfort them. We need to learn to listen now. God will give us what we need if we make it into his kingdom, but we've got to show him now that we want it, that we want to serve our younger brothers and sisters in the world tomorrow. We need to show them that we want it by learning to listen. We're in school and we're learning, and sometimes we have to take a test or be tested along the way. Life is a test. First, when the millennium starts, we will have to listen. We can't say, "Oh, I know what you've been through," because we don't know. We can't know, because we hadn't been through it. I've got a movie. It's a real funny movie. Some of you may have seen it, Baby's Day Out. These crooks kidnap this baby, and they're asking $5 million for his return. He crawls everywhere he goes. He hadn't learned to walk yet. But he gets loose from the crooks, and this is the funny part. Every time they nearly catch him, he gets loose again. And this goes on all day long. But of course, the mother is very distraught, and she's going out to look for him herself. And the FBI agent asked her not to, that they might need her there. And he said, "I know what you're going through." And the mother just quietly and calmly says, "Have you ever lost a baby?" And he says, "No, ma'am," and apologizes. She says, "You cannot possibly know what I'm going through." And that's true. There was an old saying I heard years ago, you don't judge somebody till you walk the mile in their shoes. You can show sympathy to people, but you can't show empathy. And the way the column read, it's we have to have, where you have empathy is to have been through what they've been through. Mr. Frankel told us one time, he was talking something like this, but it was a different subject. But he said he thought he had comforted a lot of people that had lost their mother. He said when he lost his mother, he said he knew he hadn't done anything. Because you can't. We just can't know. We have to listen. We have to learn to listen and let these people tell us. And we will gain some insight into what they're feeling. We still can't know. We just have to listen. When they've talked themselves out, we can comfort and encourage them by telling them that everything is going to be okay. Things are going to be different. No more cruelty, no more slavery, murder, torture, kidnapping. Any of these things that have been happening for the last 6,000 years. It's very important to learn the art and the skill of listening. So we can practice on one another now. When I'm talking, y'all shut up. No. When y'all are talking, I'll shut it. I've been practicing this. I actually looked some of this up, some of this material, to make a speech in Spokesman-Cliff. But I thought it was wonderful, all this material that I'd learned. And I've been trying to do it ever since. And believe me, I've got a ways to go yet. That's been close to 30 years, I guess. But it don't happen overnight. But, you know, any trip, journey takes the first step. It's very important to learn the art and skill of listening so we can practice now and use it now to help and comfort and encourage those in the world tomorrow and the ones coming up in the second resurrection. So we need to learn the art or skill of listening. We need to listen actively to help and encourage others now. And we need to listen to our children, our parents, our friends, brothers, sisters, anyone that needs to talk, to get it off their chest or just to talk to somebody. What about God? How are we listening to Him? Do you ever notice how many times He says, comes close to says listen or pay attention or different things like that in the Bible. This is full of them. I give you two or three here. Proverbs 1 verse 5. Proverbs 1 verse 5 says, a wise man will hear or listen and increase in learning. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to listen. My son, hear or listen to the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Verse 30, they would have none of my counsel. And have none of my rebuke. They refuse to listen. Verse 33. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely. And will be secure without fear of evil. And I could have went on. But I was about to get too long of a sermon here. So I quit it. It's just all through God's word. He says listen or hear or do. Or things like that. And we have such a great and awesome and wonderful responsibility. There are many ways that we can serve. Learning to listen is one of them. People need to listen to them. People need someone to listen to them. Listen and encourage them. We can do it now, we can do it in the world tomorrow. We're going to take people in pain with shattered lives, with no hope, filled with fear and pain and dread, with seemingly nothing to live for, and give them hope, give them comfort, and quiet their fears, give them life, teach them how to live a happy and healthy life, and prosperous life. Each thing we learn, each thought we think, each trial we go through, each thing that happens to us, good or bad, should be helping us to perform better in God's kingdom.